Welcome to another edition of Film Grok. Today's movie is the seminal classic, Dr. No. Why is it seminal? It started the James Bond series. And for that reason, we love it dearly. Or do we? I'm Serge Delpierre. To my right,
Johnny Drubby.
To my left,
Tim McMillan.
And to my utmost left,
Curtis Nelson.
So, my story for Dr. No is, the first James Bond film I ever saw was Diamonds Are Forever. I will be honest, I went to the movie theater and I saw Diamonds Are Forever with my parents. I'm like, oh, this is great and everything, because it was like the first James Bond film. I grew up in Montreal, in the province of Quebec, and there the way they rate films at the time, at least, was for all, 14 and over, and 18 and over. So I was under 14, so you can start guessing how old I am or not. Anyway, I could see Diamonds Are Forever. I was like, oh, this is cool. But I remember my parents had talked about, my dad was a big James Bond fan and gone to see them. And then I think about like a couple of years later, I was still not 14. This is back way back before video. And they would show films in second run and at little theaters. And they did a James Bond series. Mm. And they were doing like the first six or eight of them, you know, two every weekend. So one weekend, my dad said, you're coming with me. Like, so we go down. I think I was 13 at the time, and we get there. My dad says, two, please. And they say, is your son 14? And my father says, yes, he is. The guy said, okay, go on in. Nice. And got to see Dr. No and From Russia with Love. And for me, it was a completely different experience because I'd seen essentially the end of the Connery career, and now I got to go back and see it, you know, see it as it was. So it was quite intriguing. Then we did the next, I think, next weekend or two weekends later, we did Goldfinger and Thunderball, and then You Only Live Twice, and Honor Majesty's Secret Service. So that was a very special time. It was really, really cool. And got to go out with my dad. Mm-hmm. And we went eating afterwards. We got to see James Bond. Mm-hmm. So, Curtis?
Oh, with me? Well, people might start stabbing themselves in the ears whenever I say this, but I grew up in the 80s once again, and I was a Roger Moore Bond guy.
Yes.
So I just came up, and those are the first ones I ever had seen. And it wasn't until I got older that I actually sought out the Sean Connery films. Mm-hmm. And Dr. No was one of those. And the first time I ever saw it was because of that and just kind of checking it out. And I like them. I enjoy them. Mm-hmm. They're fun.
This is an interesting question, which we'll come back to, of course, Connery or Moore. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, but I mean, the difference between me, for me anyway, is there was a lot less gadgetry and the fun stuff. I mean, those things that being the first introduction to Bond was all the gadgetry and all the craziness and the cars that went underwater and everything. I was like, oh, wait, where's all that? So in some ways, you're a little let down when you go back and you see the originals. So I don't have the same Sean Connery genre as you were. So it's got a lot more nostalgia for you than it would me.
Well, even for me, actually, I came in Diamonds Are Forever, which was definitely in the whole gadget phase of it. And then to go back to it, I just found it, I don't know if it's, I've revised my thinking. I think I found it really refreshing and just interesting because getting introduced to Sean Connery again, because, you know, already there was Diamonds Are Forever. And then right after that was Roger Moore's Live and Let Die. And I'm like, well, that's cool. Roger Moore, James Bond. I'm there. Mm. Tim?
Well, knee-jerk reaction. My first memory is watching a James Bond movie on television and reading the credits and saying, oh, look, scene Connery. My mom says, Sean. So I always think of scene Connery. Yeah. Tim, when I think of my first James Bond movie.
Nice.
I did exactly the same thing.
Thank you.
I argued with my parents and said, it says Sean, not Sean. It's Sean. Hey, but it says S-E-A-N.
How many listeners out there said Sean the first time you read the credit? Please be honest.
To be a child and read the word Sean. John?
My first was that I was Roger Moore, and it was Moonraker. And I loved it. I loved that big guy Jaws at the beginning jumping out of the plane. And them doing that big old space battle at the end, shooting so they could fly through space. And I was something around 13, 14. I was with my dad and my brother, I'm pretty sure, because I have a younger brother by a year and a half. And I was like, okay, I'm into it. But, you know, I want to say my father was slightly disappointed, I think, because we came out and he talked about how the original James Bond was all about being a tough guy that could just handle really tough situations. And work
he read
through.
The books.
Yeah, he had read the books. He grew up with the books.
And that's essentially what Dr. No goes back
exactly.
And
Yeah.
Let me take a moment here, sure. Actually, right now. And yes, we do need a cue point. Yes, we do. So if you can please go to right after the United Artists logo, and it just as soon as it fades out, pause it. And then we'll do the countdown. I will say 3, 2, 1, play, and we'll play, and we'll all go together. Back to your point, John, while everyone cues their movie.
That the point is, don't ever read the books. That's the point.
I'll have to go back and unread some then.
No, it was just so they're just the vast difference, and obviously it seems like Hollywood embraced James Bond for a while, and the gadgetry got bigger and sillier, and Roger Moore, and I do see it now, obviously, when I grew up and able to take a step back, you know, Roger Moore was sort of like a spoof on itself. I'm not totally, but, you know, it was silliness, and the first James Bond, or, you know, Dr. No, there isn't any silliness like that. It's all very serious.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what struck me. And actually, as you move through them, you see the introduction of gadgetry. And actually, there's several things at play in there. I personally actually liked Roger Moore for the first few until... Yeah. See, for me, the one that kind of... Well, I liked Live and Let Die. That was the first Roger Moore one. Man with a Golden Gun, I was let down by, because I felt that, okay, now they're making fun of the whole genre, the whole thing. Then they went back and did Spy Who Loved Me, which actually refreshed the whole thing. They changed composer. I think that's the only one of the early ones that John Barry did not compose for. And that was Marvin Hamlisch, of all people. And then after that came Moonraker. So for me, coming in at Moonraker, a different experience, wasn't my first one. I was like, for me, it was just more of the excess.
Sure.
And, you know, it just kept on going and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But briefly, I'm going to just recap us here on where Dr. No falls in the books, essentially. Dr. No was the sixth James Bond book. The first one was Casino Royale, written in 1953. And then after that was followed by Live and Let Die, written in 1954. Moonraker, written in 1955. Diamonds Are Forever, 1956. From Russia with Love, 57. And then Dr. No in 58. It took another 3-4 years before actually a film got produced. And for various reasons, Dr. No was the one to get produced. So Thunderball actually originated from a script that was essentially made to be one of the first ones. And, of course, there's a big lawsuit around Thunderball about that. So on that note, let's get ready to start the film.
Rock and roll.
First James Bond, yes. So here we go. And 3, 2, 1... play.
I really like the fact that they had the theme song for the first one. Do you know what I'm saying? And they stuck with it, and it was great.
Well, wait to hear. Actually.
This is the first gun barrel sequence in the franchise.
And that's actually not James Bond. That's James Bond. That's not Sean Connery. It's another guy.
Yeah.
Now, in this film, it doesn't start with the usual James Bond theme that we're used to. It starts in the middle of it, but still. But look at this.
These dots are some kind of weird acid thing going on.
There was no...
Like, what is going on? And then you got Dr. No flashing all over the place. What is that?
No, this is Maurice Binder. This is the early 60s, man.
Oh, this is right.
Very, very cool time.
Yeah.
Such a timely score, though.
I mean, oh, yeah. Oh, it's phenomenal.
Just continues to...
Tim?
Oh, nothing. Just as far as the James Bond theme is concerned, it's always been a big brouhaha between Monty Norman and John Barry, which actually wound up in the British courts as to who the true author was this. Mm. And it's turned into folklore, urban legend over the years. You have Camp Barry, Camp Norman, as to who really
is
wrote
that like
it.
Like Camp Jacob and Camp the Twilight?
Sorry,
go ahead. Or like in Meatballs movie where they... Go ahead, Tim. Finish. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. Just that a lot of people believe that John Barry is the man really responsible for this theme. It was, production designer Ken Adam.
I'm a huge fan of Ken Adam.
And John Barry arranged from a Monty Norman composition the James Bond theme. But a lot of people think, John Barry did more than arrange it. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to the instrumentation and how it was written, but a lot of other people say, no, Monty Norman wrote it, and John Barry just arranged it.
Now, Peter Hunt edited this, and Maurice Binder did the titles. Maurice Binder did the titles for many, many, many years on this and became famous for this. Mm-hmm. And Peter Hunt went on to actually be an editor on many of these and directed on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept the same bunch of people and took them through.
I wonder whose idea it was to go into the three blind mice rhythm here.
I really like that. I like that a lot. I mean, I love the fact that they start with the
more than likely Monty Norman.
Tree, and it's even Jamaican.
Yeah, well, it's what a great way to really do the setting. Yep, right. In Jamaica. It's fantastic.
This starts in Jamaica. Now, in terms of the books, how this falls out is at the end of From Russia with Love, I don't know, Bond gets poisoned or whatever, and he's told to recuperate, so he goes to Jamaica. And that's how the adventures in Jamaica start. Here, it's the first movie, so we just start fresh.
Mm. Yeah, what a great way to bring us into the movie.
What is that? Oh, she's got something on her.
This is Jamaica.
Fashion of the day.
Jamaica 1963.
It's wild.
Yeah, it is a little bummer that they could have done a couple more things like that to really set the place up better. Do you know what I mean? Like giving us some real Jamaican sights.
I'm there.
Well.
He talked into his glass. Talks
into his drink.
Yeah.
You know what I hope we can...
Now,
yes, Tim?
What I hope we can address while watching this film is really what makes the James Bond franchise what it is. Pretty much, how has it lasted as long as it has been, as popular as it has been? What is it about this?
I think you just answered your question.
Well, I think part of it is, there's no other spy movies out.
Great action. Yeah. I didn't expect that coming. I've seen this how many times, and I forgot about that.
Yeah, the guy just got shot.
Intrigue. Within 3 minutes, we've gotten intrigue.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he gets picked up in a hearse. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I like that the three blind men, the hitmen, really were so into character that blocks away they got into their character.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Method.
But also at this time, I mean, the whole thing of, I mean, it was Cold War, height of the Cold War, spy stories were coming out. And actually, I think in terms of the James Bond series, there was an interest because President Kennedy liked the books very much. Everyone wanted to see what that was about. And also another thing that comes up later on.
Here comes a big scream. This scream actually made me jump when I watched it. I was like, ah!
That was rough.
They killed the girl.
That was rough for that time when this was
released. Well, I mean, this is the first movie.
We're seeing blood.
And that blood is really bright red.
They killed the girl, and I'm not kidding about that. But a lot of the movies, especially early ones, we're involved with, and especially this one where it winds up, is with
The space program.
The space program.
Yeah.
A lot of them are involved in that, which is kind of really interesting.
Dr. No.
I wonder what that's about.
Gee, where are we at now? Big Ben. I like it.
Nice.
Oh, all those guys notating.
You know, the very interesting thing about this movie is that if I'm right, this is probably the only one where we don't see James Bond basically right away.
Mm-hmm. Right, but we do start with the bad guy.
Oh,
bad
absolutely.
Guys always,
bad guys
always start movies.
Bad guys twice now, and now they're getting the news, and it's feeding back, and we're going to find out for the big reveal. Sort of like Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Best reveal in history.
What's that, Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. Not Temple. No. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Easy. Gather your thoughts.
That slipped out of my mouth.
Focus.
I'm sorry, but...
I don't know. For me, James Bond films are almost like comfort food. You know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know who's going to get what. But you know what's going to lead you to the next thing, which leads you to the next thing, to the ending.
But you love every second of it.
And yet, you go back again and again and again.
Well, it's also he's so damn good with the women.
There we go.
He's just so sweet.
I
don't know if they'd call it sweet.
Sweet. Well, I would. That's from being raised in Ohio. Sweet.
Yes, he's sweet.
Everything we've been teased up to here, all we know is about James Bond. Obviously, he's important because they have to find him to solve this problem.
But my 7-year-old son says random.
And we don't even see him yet.
So random. Yeah, I know. They really
haven't revealed him visually.
Yeah. And he's the dealer.
I want to get a job with this guy with the wooden paddle, though.
Yeah, what's your job? Just scooping up cards.
Go to Vegas, baby. There we are, and it's a nice pullback.
Mm-hmm. And Terrence Young was really credited with making Sean Connery James Bond. Really? And they say that Terrence Young resembled James Bond in many, many ways. He was such an adventuresome, charming, stylish man that Sean Connery just stood back and watched Terrence Young and took much of his character from him.
Mm-hmm. Now, what had Connery been known?
Here she introduced herself by last name, first name, last name.
Oh, did she say her last name first?
She said last name, first name.
That's a mimic to her, then.
It's a mimic of hers,
and we always think of him that way now.
Exactly.
That's funny.
And Curtis, you were mentioning what Sean Connery had done before this?
Yeah, what had he been seriously famous for up until this point?
Well, he got celebrity
little people?
By being alternate to Mr. Universe or something.
Yeah, he was.
I know Darby O'Gill and the Little People for Disney.
He was in that.
That was just before this, a ways.
Oh, she is my dear. He was in
Tarzan's Greatest Adventure, supporting role.
That's right, he did.
One of the thugs going after Tarzan who gets shot up in the jungle. But I think, wouldn't this be his first lead? I don't remember him being major leads.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
please stand by.
I think Sarah's just checking.
Well, I mean, we do know that. I mean, well, here's my question. At this point, does he have a toupee?
No.
Yes. Does he really? Well, I don't.
This is great writing.
You know what?
Though.
I don't even care.
Much has been written about all that went, the trouble it took, and the exhaustive time in tailoring, culturing, and bringing Sean Connery into this.
Really?
He had to learn all about wines, all about fabric, all about suits, all about. They went to great trouble to actually educate him.
Because he was just a poor little Scottish boy.
And even look at his performance. It's interesting watching him. It's slightly different than I'm used to.
There's a nice little tip there.
Yeah.
The dialogue's just great. Do you play any other games?
I'm a huge Sean Connery fan. That guy's a fantastic actor. His body of work, oh my gosh. And to break free of the Bond, he's done with his career. Oh,
there you go.
Notice the witty repartee between. It's fabulous.
Our first hat hitting the hat stand that's echoed in all the other films.
Yeah. Lois Maxwell, Canadian.
Starting off from the first film, going through the whole series.
That's just great. What gives me given an ounce of encouragement? That's awesome.
And this bit for every film.
It was.
This bit that's established right here on our first seconds on film is her entire gig for the entire franchise of what she's used for throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And she delivers exposition very well.
Yeah.
And it's great because she provides, I mean, she's one of the characters that provides continuity. Every time you came in and saw a James Bond film, it's like.
I want an office with double door like that. That's cool.
Yes. You know, you'd see her, you'd see M.
Yep.
You knew you were in a Bond film. Yep. I love this. He doesn't look up.
Never on the what?
The firms.
Oh.
But that's his Scottish brogue coming through. Yeah.
What does that mean, never on the firms?
Well, the firm.
The firm.
The organization.
The company.
Gotcha.
Do we know how many films Bernard Lee did of the James Bond?
Probably, what, 8?
I think he did them all the way up into the Roger Moores.
Mm. Okay, so this is, I mean, obviously the James Bond film, but this is about minute 12 where they get the whole mission and what's going on, what's going wrong. What's different with the structure of this film is that usually what's this film about comes after the statement about how you should live your life. And we'll get how he should live his life when he takes his gun away from him and gives him a new gun.
Oh.
And that happens like 2 minutes later. He says, you kill, you don't get killed. He's don't take this better gun.
Felix Leiter played by?
Jack Lord.
Who was in?
Jack Lord. I know from Hawaii
5-0. Yes.
Garrett.
Yeah, I was going to say that every time he came on in this movie, you're like, wait a minute, why? Oh, I want the music. Never mind.
I just get tickled watching for the first time what was done in pretty much every film
all
after
these
this.
Revelations. Right. That,
yeah. It's each thing is classic. Is, real quick, classic. Each no, scene. Yeah.
Here. Let them. This is how they use this gun exchange to do exposition. Listen to this. He says the gun's nice and light for, yeah, in a lady's handbag. And then here's the exposition right here. Yeah. There you go.
A linking device.
Right, and they've told us. Now they've told us that he has...
You have a license to kill.
That is what you do. That is who you are. Yeah.
So you have to forgive me. Was this known as Q, the man who came in? Is he Q?
I don't think he was. No, I think Q came in a few.
No, Q was in the lab. Was it Q in the lab?
But this man's character,
I don't know if he shows up in this film.
Not really anyone, this guy on the right, screen right.
Oh, this guy, he just said
armor. Is he known as Q in this film that the other guy took over later?
No, he's not.
All he said in the intercom was armor, and then this guy popped in.
Yeah.
So that was developed later.
That's the only gadget he gets in this film.
That's
a gun.
The only gadget.
That's the only gadget.
That's all he needs.
That's right.
Which is in a lot of
ways.
And
he's got the Walther PPK.
Oh, when I was a boy.
Leave the gun, baby.
Leave the Beretta. Oh, okay, he stuck it underneath. Very, very slick.
What a wonderful job by Connery to be so confident in his first Bond film.
Yeah. Now, isn't that great? Because in not modern movies, they would have just cut from the scene and not even have him walk out. You know what I mean?
And he leaves the box with her. And then I think that's it for the movie. We don't see her anymore.
Nope.
And now we're on to the adventure.
Oh, not quite.
Well, his adventure.
Oh, yeah. Well,
kind of, sort of. His female adventure.
He's got a bang. Yeah, he's got a bang.
Because now we see what a ladies' man he is.
That's right.
Something is not quite right. Here's one thing about Sean Connery that separates him. You know, I mean, well, a lot of actors from this time period that I miss in today's is just an actor watching actors. He's a man. He's a man's man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what brought back the new 007 movies to being better.
Yeah,
you know, getting away from that suave, debonair thing that Pierce Brosnan was. Not that Pierce Brosnan wasn't good as a 007. But I'm just talking about just as a whole as an actor watching other actors. It's like, you know, I can't see Josh Duhamel doing this or something like that. And no slant on Josh Duhamel, but it's about casting, you know.
So it's been a huge debate, you know, who's in what camp for who's, which is your favorite Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I always go back to Sean Connery myself.
He made
the character and the movie made the character with him in it. And I like how he's got the golf club right behind her. You're not getting away. I liked actually that when he came in, the shot when he came in, I think I've seen stills of that when he's down on one knee and he's ready to shoot. And of course, all you see is a woman in a man's shirt and her legs and, you know, putting golf balls. That's great. Pan Am. Bye, Pan Am.
Pan Am was in more films.
They were a popular airline. And there he is. Man.
He's turning. I was expecting him turning into camera like the beginning of Hawaii 5-0 off the, the balcony.
And almost. I don't think that Felix Leiter was in the books, actually. Or maybe he showed up later. I don't think he was in Doctor No, and they added him in here and they added a few things. And it works perfectly fine.
Now, this would be the very first time anyone had ever heard the twangy guitar.
Yep,
the James Bond theme.
Well,
at that
moment. And they do it through the whole movie. It's his theme. It's his.
And look at this. He offers the car up for the two ladies. What a guy.
We've been looking for you.
Isn't that great? This is fantastic. Then he goes and he confirms that they sent the driver. That's just smart.
It's the second time I've seen movie light reflections in glass so far.
It's 1963.
In this film?
It's 1963. Nice shot.
Mm-hmm.
Looking through past his shoulder over there. Nice depth of focus.
It's so tempting. It's I'm so aware of not trying to imitate Sean Connery as he speaks. Because it's like, ooh.
Quite right.
I dare.
Uh-oh. What's going to be up? Well, at this point, we don't know if
he's good or bad.
This is lighter, exactly.
Even though he looks so American, it's, you know. And
now they shot, they went on location in Jamaica, and they actually shot by Ian Fleming's estate in Jamaica, which its name is Goldeneye.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Ian Fleming would be able to come down and say, hey, how's it going?
How much involvement in the films did Ian Fleming have, and how much did he appreciate him or not?
In my reading, I didn't read much. I think he enjoyed writing the stories. He died in 64, actually, just so you know. So that's shortly after this came out, maybe after From Russia with Love. But I think he was perfectly satisfied with what they did and happy.
Mm. May I interrupt just for a second to say how appreciative I am that this is not a process shot?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're watching as they're in a car driving away, and he's being followed.
But the other shots will be processed. Mm-hmm. Other car chases.
You talking about rear projection or process?
I'm talking about process shot.
Yeah. Well, process shot is when you've got your rig and you're actually towing the car and you're actually shooting through.
Oh, that's my terminology's off.
Yeah, that's a process shot. Yes.
I am thrilled that it's a process shot rather than rear projection.
Yes, there you go. Yes. And then, poor man's process is where when you see a car. Whoa, nice.
William
turn.
Friedkin steals this later.
Because I thought process shot and process photography is the plate of what's being shown for the rear projection.
I like this.
I don't want to agree with you, Tim, but I think so.
I don't know.
That's a shame.
He's very calm, and he's very strong, and he's very...
Well, he's very commanding.
Yeah.
The film benefits from two things. One, this hadn't quite been done this way yet,
right.
And it did it very well.
Yeah.
And that's what really needs to be taken into account is context, that we take all this for granted.
Right.
Because of the formula, what we see is formula. This was the first of its kind, in so many ways that everything else copied and imitated.
Now, and this kind of comes to this point, is that I really like the beginning of all this stuff. I mean, this is all raw. It's there. It's people. There's no technology. But where the film ends is like all technology. Mm. And I don't want to say, I don't know. I think seeing it last time, I was like, I'll see what feels like this time, but
and the fact that this
guy
that this guy takes a suicide
he just took a cyanide pill.
This is a dedicated guy.
Yeah,
no, you know, it's always cracked me up. It's like, man, boy, that guy's dedicated to his cause.
And I love the fact that he let him drop.
Yeah, well, he's dead.
It's the cigarettes.
I mean,
that's why the Surgeon General's warning is on those things, guys.
See,
all over them.
Smoking
cigarettes
will kill you.
That's right.
I do like the line delivered here.
Wait.
Let's have a reaction shot from the sergeant.
That is so bad.
What?
It's the Scooby-Doo moment.
Ruh-roh.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
What a lovely way to go. Let me write that down.
I love the British.
There's the Queen of England in a portrait in the background, of course.
Yes.
Good God, man, those are nice shorts you've got on.
Very aware as an actor to fan himself with the hat. He just came in from outside. And,
Nice little touch.
Yeah.
It's Jamaica. It's warm.
Yeah.
Very warm.
Makes sense.
There's a queen. Yep.
Dun, 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 dun.
So the way they film this, right, is just one camera and they move it around and do the scene over and over again? Then they cut it all together?
Yes, they do it that way.
How is that, Curtis, when you do a film or something and they just, you do the scene
that's
over
why,
and over
that's
again?
That's why you have to appreciate something like him taking the hat and fanning himself, because you don't know when they filmed that. Excellent. He could have filmed it 2 months before he shot the exterior. He could have shot it 2 months after.
That's also why you have a continuity person to keep track of all that stuff. So.
But, you know, I mean, a lot of times you'd be surprised how many times you bring things up to those same people and they're like, you're right, because you're just aware of the screenplay and where you are as his character. So you're just like, okay, you're right.
Cool. And that's fun, too. I think part of the reason why James Bond movie works so well is we want to know more about the spy world. And even those just little things about, the frequency changes after it gets broken. You know what I mean? That's like, I know a little bit about the spy world now.
Well, I think one of the...
We see the world we don't get to see.
Core reasons is vicarious.
Yeah.
Every man wants to be James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone to be exactly a spy with a license to kill.
You know, you could put away your real-life, day-to-day problems, go to the movies and be a spy and live through James Bond and have all your fantasies met.
That's right.
Or a good deal of them.
Yeah.
It's certainly the reason people befriend me.
Really? They want to live through your life.
Yes, of course.
They live vicariously through your life. That's so cool.
Oh, there's his martini.
Here's the internet.
But
there you go.
But he said mixed.
And it's a vodka martini for all the gin martini snobs out there.
And in the upper left-hand corner, we had a boom shadow.
There you go. Yeah.
For those of you that want to appreciate more what he's drinking, try to drink it. Not real tasty.
I bet. To differ, vodka martinis rock.
Really?
Yes, they do.
I like the little touches here of him going through, but there's no payoff later where they actually come back and you see that by him doing this,
it just assures him that people are looking at his stuff.
Well, I mean, maybe how thorough he is as a character. And
But you're right. No, it doesn't help him.
Doesn't that pay off later?
Well, it pays off that he does see fingerprints on it.
And
exactly. That's how it pays off. So it's like, okay.
But it doesn't really help him catch anybody.
No, but it lets him know that it lets him know that someone is there and these are techniques. Now we know, I'll take a hair, do that.
And I just want to let you know, if you guys ever come over to my house for a party, don't open my doors because I put hairs on it like that with my spit. All
your
over
own?
Yeah. That's right.
Your own hair?
I'll be careful where I touch the door.
That's right.
Well, that's why Connery dropped out from these films. He could no longer do that.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I really did.
What I missed.
He had no more hair.
He's always pulling his hair.
So many doors and so many hair. So much hair before.
And so much spit.
Yeah.
Pigs.
I think that's Professor Dent.
Who's Anthony Dawson,
I think so.
The actor. Yes, I agree. Because I recognize his face, and I was trying to think of the actor. The film stock they used back in these days, do you know how much light they had to pump on these actors?
Mm. Oh, a lot.
They were baking.
Yeah, I think whenever I first started watching films and you're seeing how they're filming and how they're making them, and you're like, that's how it looks. And, you know, when you.
Versus what you see on film, yeah.
You know, I have to say, we've had a few, we're sitting in meeting and talking scenes, and I'm starting to notice them. I think that's kind of receded from movie making, but I think at the time it was still very much accepted.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
But it has its lag points. Is that what you're trying to say?
But I've come to accept it within the context of at least of these earlier films, the way films were made then. Of course,
audiences don't put up with that much anymore.
No. Yeah.
Unfortunately, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, scenes are much shorter nowadays. This goes.
And also notice how there's a lot of lack of score underneath the movie at these points. It's it's more sort like a stage play. And,
to heighten accent, keep it moving. Add score, tell us what to think. Mm-hmm. I love all this location work, and you have nice little moves.
I think the lack of music kind of works in this film, personally. But I think it's a function also of how they came to approach the music and everything, how they came to, because obviously the use of music changed in later films. Mm-hmm. But for this one, I don't mind.
Mm-hmm. I doubt they certainly knew what the music would mean to this film franchise as they went. I mean, the beginning film, no one would have the idea of how the Bond music shaped so many things.
Well, they had no idea how the Bond film would be received.
I mean, it's known for, I don't know if it's Bender or Binder, but Maurice Binder's title sequences is known for music, John Barry. It's all the trademark things that eventually came out of it. Ken Adams sets.
I like this music underneath that helps set the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, the music in this one is treated a lot differently than all the other ones. Mm-hmm. I think you told me, Tim, I guess there was they got indigenous music from Denver, I guess, from one of the groups down there.
Yeah, Monty Norman did a great deal of work going down to Jamaica and all the Calypso scene at the time. He studied every band, recorded them, listened to their sounds, brought bands in to do work on this film for source music, other music that was going on. So it was very much the fever pop music of the day that was happening in the islands
that they tried
to bring to the film.
That's right, Harry Belafonte.
It was going full tilt.
Yep.
So up to this point, script-wise, he's all been about a spy trying to figure things out. People have been trying to kill him. Once again, somebody else is trying to kill him. Wrestles alligators.
Nice move.
Sean's a strong dude. I will have to say, the first time I ever saw the pictures you mentioned before, like where he was a runner-up in Mr. Universe, I'm like, look at Sean.
Really?
Look at this guy. He was a pretty well-built fella. Worked out quite a bit.
So this is where the CIA guy comes up with a gun.
I love those glasses.
Felix Leiter.
Look how angled there. It looked like something like a...
Matilda would
British
wear.
Intention. Yeah, the impersonist. Just... Whoosh. Yeah.
Oh, Edna. Dame Edna.
Dame Edna. That's what looks like Dame Edna would wear. Look at him, though. Hey, it was a time period, Curtis. It was a time period.
It was a time
I just
period,
love all
Curtis.
The suits and ties and hats.
Mm-hmm. Look how short they have the tie. But look how high they have their pants. Like where the
waist is.
Yeah, the waist line is way up there.
It is. Wow.
Look how the music all of a sudden changed.
I'm not a scary guy.
Interesting. I wonder.
I'm not a scary guy.
How much of the location dialogue is looped? Because that scene was looped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll bet you pretty much all of it is.
When watching this film over, most of this stuff is post. Hold on. We got to at least admire one of the dancers here in just a second.
Oh, no, I know that guy. But before
that, it is crazy.
This is the second act where now he has friends. And working with these two guys is the whole middle part of the movie of getting onto the island and figuring everything out.
I like this whole whole long shot, pulling back through the whole crowd.
Yeah.
It's done pretty well.
Here he is, here he is.
Here's our boy.
Right there, the guy.
Our cat's going. Yeah. What's funny is they come back to him.
Yeah.
And as a kid watching this, you're like, what?
Okay, so now we've got the whole introduction of the space
program
thing.
Yeah.
Man, but, and think about this, the time period, 63. Crazy.
But that's what, you know, that's what this was all about, Cold War space program. Yeah.
Whoa, get me that camera.
Hey.
Oh, get it.
I thought Dr. No was 1962.
This guy is.
That guy. He's working it, baby.
I tell you, man.
Ooh.
This had to be a big thing where people weren't too afraid to hurt women. I mean, I don't imagine that was seen a lot in films. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I don't think so, yeah. Well, I think it just treated everyone as, like, everyone in the spy business is just fair game.
Yeah, right. See, like, all this stuff is all post-sound.
This
post,
is all looped.
Post-looped, yeah.
But, I mean, look at the scene.
You think it's looped?
It would have to be post.
How do you just, because they're not
But, I mean,
up.
You see the whole movies like that.
Yeah, but look at the back.
All the location work that this film is, they had to loop so much of it. Mm-hmm. They had so many varying things going on location.
It happens a lot on film, so it's no big.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to see a looping session.
I did once.
For something like
this. It's cool. It's very cool.
Uh-oh.
What is that? What is it, like a light bulb or something?
It was a glass.
That's her flash bulb from her
camera. Flash bulb. Thank you.
That's right. I never knew what that was either. Man, he's pretty lax about her just his face cut.
You know, oh, that's got to hurt, man.
Shred your face. Yeah. He's like, whatever. Freelance. Ah, I tried
you
to make
rats.
A movie and I did it.
Damn. Did she just call me a rat?
And here's another sit-down meeting for you, Serge.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit of a sit down, but here at the bar. But yeah, you're right. They are sitting.
Yeah.
And in a way,
it's an exposition scene.
It's exposition scene. It kind of keeps it all calm for the excitement later. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Calm before the storm.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, this does
I could
go
see,
on
I could
long
see this scene,
compared for to nowadays
I could
films.
See this scene in a film as opposed to the other ones, but this does go a little long. But
they could be doing something else besides seeing as a table also.
They could be.
Yeah. But that's the time period, and that's the way they made films.
Yeah, and it's still very charming. That scene worked fine.
And it's nice. So and much I, about people. I mean, you're looking at people, characters, interaction, dialogue, people.
Yeah. Exactly.
And also, this is so tension. Like, oh my God, he's
there was a time where
killed.
People were interested in people. You know?
You know, I hate when that happens when a car comes by and I'm trying to shoot someone surreptitiously and the moment passes. And
75 yards away with a handgun that's also...
With a silencer and that you could... Yeah, never mind. Oh,
yeah.
I just hate that.
I like that she dialed with the pencil.
And it's a rotary phone.
That's too cool.
I used to do that. I used to dial with a pencil.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Didn't always want to put my finger in the thing.
We had slightly talked about Payback earlier. That's what I loved about that film. It was like so you didn't know what time period it was set in. They had older cars, older phones, you know, it brings it back to places like this where a lot of those ideas originate from.
That said, I like the set decoration, all the furniture. I love that style of the time. Those chairs, the tea chairs. All right. Well, this is another meeting scene. But it does show up in later films. You know, it's always a matter of Bond going in and knowing he might be in a little bit of danger, but he still goes, he goes right in, literally, okay. Yeah. I'm not just sizing you up. I'm just throwing myself into the situation. I'm going to manage myself. I mean, you see this definitely in later Bonds to much better effect.
Well, he's not afraid of anything, even though when he finds out that the driver is not from whatever, the embassy or the hotel or whatever, he goes along with it anyhow.
Right.
He's
fearless in a way.
Except, though, there's a one line that says great where he goes, I'm glad not to be a clay pigeon anymore, which is when he gets back and he gets in the boat.
Well, what's always great about watching these older films as well is they appreciate and take so much time and diligence to really set the scene and set the frame of the camera up so much. Like even those boats in the background, they probably moved to that angle or at least move the camera to fit that. And there was so much stuff in the foreground and the background and everything was placed so strategically. Mm-hmm. Nice small little shot. Look at this little model.
Miniature work.
This is miniature work, yep.
But this is
John
not.
Steers. Was the man responsible for the miniature work.
So, but I always appreciate that when you watch these older films like this, and especially with the set design and even on practical locations, it's pretty neat.
Now, in the book, Dr. No ran essentially, I think, a factory that dealt with bird guano.
What?
Bird guano.
Bat guano? Because
bird guano.
Is there a difference?
That's bird poop?
Bird poop.
Okay.
Here he's dealing with bauxite.
He's using big words for me.
As the front, he's using a bauxite mine.
Yeah.
There is, you know, I don't
know. Why did they keep that?
It's what the book is. Yeah. I mean, what do you want from me?
Maybe it becomes funny when
basically,
you're
guano.
You know how Dr. No.
Dr. Guano to you, sir.
How Dr. No dies at the end? Buried in bird guano. That's how Bond kills him. Buried, essentially.
Yeah, that becomes a little comical, especially when you have like 600 people watching
Not
it.
Not when it's written by Ian Fleming.
Well, that's because you're reading a book by
now,
yourself.
This is...
Yes.
This
what are we looking at,
great
Serge?
Set. We're looking at a very cheap...
That's from the Coen Brothers.
Ken Adams set. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't they do that?
But
the man who wasn't
Broccoli
there?
And Salt's been ripped off the Coen Brothers.
Yeah.
It may not have cost an arm and a leg, but the style is... Yeah. When the money came in, he used the same style.
Yep.
The depth, the ceiling, the angle.
It's the angle. It's the angle of the ceiling.
That's pure Ken Adam. And he took a scene that was not like this on the page, and he built this set that blew everyone away for
it was
the little
cheap.
Amount of
I
money
it was
they gave
675 him. Pounds, if I read correctly.
It's also great that they made him sit in the corner.
Yes.
In a smaller chair, with his knees up high like a little kid.
Yeah.
And it's very Ken Adam to have incredible expanse, huge dwarfing set with one little chair or one little thing sitting there to break it up.
And also, the shadows on the wall and coming across.
And it's an angled ceiling, I believe. It's not level.
Which, of course, comes back in You Only Live Twice.
That's right. Volcano Crater.
Oh, yes.
And also, Moonraker, when Lois Chiles and Roger Moore are about to get incinerated by the engines of the shuttle, and they look up above them, the set has that same round top. Mm.
I have blocked that film out of my memory.
Moonraker rocks.
Sorry.
Moonraker has wonderful production
design. I'll have to
design.
See it again. All
Ken Adam rocked on Moonraker. That's what I was talking about.
Nice camera move.
A spider.
I love Joseph Wiseman's voice. Just
the fact that they leave him off camera. Very.
But also, just the way,
that's an interesting
the tone
choice.
Of his voice.
Ooh, I thought
too.
It was a spider talking to him.
I'm sorry.
It's like a 50s film.
Well, the music's for a 50s film like this moment, but...
That's funny.
Pick me up. Carry me across the room. Set me free.
Good stuff. See, here it comes.
Now we have the James Bond theme again. So we know who this is.
And lots of camera moves.
Watch the look that this woman gives him. It's awesome. Watch it. Watch it. Nice.
Isn't that awesome?
She checked him out.
That was top to bottom, back up.
I wish I would just walk into hotel rooms and women were in there in my shirts with nothing else. Oh, wait. I told you guys before.
Playing with your putter?
I did that. Let's go back. Let's see the horror.
I think he did the whole hair thing and the fingerprints on the briefcase thing just as a confirmation
there you go.
That I'm in the right place at the right time. You know what I mean?
I apologize. Well, that, I forgot. That was a bad on me. I forgot earlier that it does pay off, so I apologize. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it pays off. There you go. Wow, look at that. It pays off and points them in a certain direction.
Yeah.
It just pays off that.
It gives them information, gives us information. Yeah. And it's a visual way as opposed to
catch this out.
So
he doesn't, right, he doesn't drink it because the bottle was open, but he does use the ice.
Fool.
So it could
because the ice is going to be okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't.
I love that chair.
All good set design again. I can't sleep. Why am I alone? Why am I not banging some broad right now? And oh, that's my inner thoughts.
And why sorry, do I sir. Feel fingers on... Wait, it's not fingers.
Oh, like there is someone in bed friend. With me. No, it's not someone. It's something. Yeah.
Oh, look, there's something
now,
crawling.
How did they do that? Did someone crawl...
No, they just had something. They just had a hand underneath.
Okay.
It's a hot night in Jamaica. Look at the sweat on his face.
In the book...
In the book,
that's a double exposure. Oh, yeah. That's on a plate of glass is what it is. In the book, it was a poisonous centipede.
Poisonous centipede? Well, I'm glad
that... Spider is so much better.
Yeah, it is. Even though they're not that poisonous.
Well, but also in terms of the symbolism, because... The previous scene where we had Strangways in there, it made it seem like there was the shadow made it seem like it was a spider web.
Mm. Yeah, the only bummer part now is like I know kids who own tarantulas, you know what I mean, and hold them. So, back then it probably was like horrifying, and now it's like, yeah, like the music, huh?
Nice.
That's awesome.
That's music cue. That's right. In case we didn't get that, he smashed the spider.
I like that. That was fun.
It was. They don't do that much anymore, do they?
I liked it, Monty.
Smacking the spider?
Norman.
No, the music with the dunk.
The dramatics of it all.
And there's the queen again.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to finish the whole theme by the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Another meeting scene.
Back in the day before they really were fearful of smoking on camera.
That's right.
And if you look at the shadows, you can just see how much light they're... Look at the shadow on that door. How much light they're pumping on these people.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they're shutting the iris down so it doesn't affect us, but if you saw this in real life, you'd be like, oh, my God. Pure white light.
Is it me or was that girl Caucasian just... had her makeup done so much like Asian.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
well, that's the one thing I was disappointed about. Dr. No, he didn't look Chinese at all to me.
Well, because Joseph Wiseman...
I know, exactly. They got an actor who's not. I was kind of...
With
I
a name like that?
But he was a good actor, and they selected him, and so it is what it is. You know, these things happen.
Well, they should have made him
Breakfast
Chinese
at Tiffany's
then.
Whenever... who was it that played the... the Japanese landlord?
That would be Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
Oh, no. Okay, that's...
There's nothing PC about that.
Borderline offensive.
Yeah, borderline.
See, she...
Oh, look at that.
He knew.
Okay, fine, it is offensive.
Woman on her knees.
Oh, will not expound upon that.
She was...
Now watch this. He just throws himself right into the fire.
He's smooth.
Yeah.
Yep. Once again, throws himself right in.
Yeah. Maybe. That's excellent.
I
assume that's all Ian's writing.
And because if you don't want to, I have a desk clerk at the hotel that will.
And I don't know if necessarily from the book, yeah, yeah. But I think it's a combination of things.
Yeah. So this happens right around uh, 48 minutes, which is how the movie's going to end with radiation and the whole thing on the island.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Really? I that's fascinating that at a 45-minute mark, usually, foreshadowing of what the ending will be is given out.
And I think
I've never thought of that.
Well, I think most people don't. I think it actually works on the subconscious. So then when it happens at the end, it doesn't come out of the blue.
Right.
Because if you came up with that whole radiation thing at the end and...
You'd be like, oh, there's a surprise. What? Look at that.
Right. But instead,
like,
it comes...
Where did that come from?
So this is a seed that's being planted for payoff.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. But the fact that it comes at this point consistently is what's really interesting.
Yeah, that's...
And it's really consistent.
Wild.
I like the speedboat in the back.
And does that hold true with even the length of the film?
That is a very good question. And I do... Right. Films are usually around 90 minutes or 120 or a little over 2 hours. Oftentimes... From page 1 to 60, it holds really true. But then in a comedy, instead of going from 60 to 120, it just goes 60 to 90. So it only has 30 minutes more instead of 60. Mm-hmm. So what they do then is they take the structure scenes and just go boom, 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 mm-hmm. right after each other, which makes the ending go faster, which is always good. But yes, oftentimes 1 through 60 stays the same or shortens just a bit, even on the shorter films. Because I think it just takes a while to get to the midpoint, you know, that 60 point. But yeah, that's a great question. Everybody always asks that.
I think it's just way cool. Oh, nice.
Nylons.
Oui.
That was a nice...
From the day.
Yeah.
I believe Ted Moore was the DP on this. Yes. I just love how he loves his dolly track. I love all the moves in this.
And how well they're executed.
Mm-hmm. And I like this, too. This really it's a long slow dissolve where she tells him and we get to see him drive. I think that's great.
What I like about this is just there's a lot of slightly unconventional. I mean, there's definitely good filmmaking, slightly unconventional things. It's just rawr. Like, there's no music here. Doesn't bother me. I like it. It's got a slightly indie
there's our music.
Film feeling. Oh, well, there you go. Because it's James Bond.
Yeah, and he's about to be...
I also like how she said...
Clear screen.
Here's your rear projection shot.
I also like how she said, come and collect me.
That was instead old of pick school. Me up. Well, it's, you know, it's a Britishism.
I want that car.
That's cute.
How rare is it?
It's cute. It's a cute car.
There's the hearse, which we saw in the first scene. And now it's... here we go. It's interesting that they did this as a rear projection as opposed to
it's awkward that they did it since we've had such on location up till now.
I mean, at that time, it was an accepted convention, absolutely, but still.
Look at that smile on his face. That was like...
And also hearing the tires on a dirt road.
What's wrong with that?
Squealing.
Well,
that's a bit much.
Yeah, I'm letting it go.
Yeah.
Ooh. That was some kind of...
They're banging up against them.
I think that was supposed to be a bullet, I thought.
Mm. No, I think it's
Remember they have silencers? Uh-oh.
My car's smaller than your car.
What you gonna do?
You know what's kind of... Yeah.
Wow.
He went underneath.
Oh! No, say it ain't so.
And look at this. It almost hits the camera.
Yeah, it's a very nice shot.
Look at this, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's incredible.
That's really close.
That's amazing.
They should have let it gone all the way past it. I think that would have been cool.
I think if they could have, they would have. Right. I think something happened.
Oh!
Zinga!
That probably was the first time he had a one-liner.
No, the one-liner is when he left the dead guy in the backseat.
Oh, that was the first appearance in the franchise of a one-liner.
There have been two one-liners in this film so far. They were just getting warmed up for the later films.
He knows that she sent him for that same reason, but he's still going to collect his debt.
Yeah, why not? Look at that.
Nice.
She doesn't think it's him.
She thinks that's what
whoever offed him or whatever.
Surprise.
Wait, is she in the towel and high heels? What the hell? It's the 60s. Oh, no. I thought she had a towel wrapped around her.
Yeah.
Now she's actually impressed and wants to be with him because how did you get away?
Look at that.
Uh-oh. Wow.
I thought I was invited up here to admire
that's,
and take a
that's
full
cold.
Of this. Oh, so now watch that. Watch what he does with this towel. Watch what he does. Not the kissing part, but
looks like he spit up in it.
A little bit of fetish.
Now watch this. I think it looks like he's going to strangle her.
Yeah, it does look like that.
Absolutely. It's a nice line.
Yeah, he'll even bang the bad people.
Well,
because he wants the bad people to come, so he knows.
Well, he's also
so to speak,
and he's James Bond.
He needs to fulfill himself.
He can do it. Look at that!
I love
nice
shot.
Yeah. In the mirror.
Yep. And I love that they hold this shot.
Mm-hmm. So of the day, dishpan hands.
Yeah. Taxi. When I was in day.
Doesn't he have a car?
Look at that.
Ah.
He is. He's like,
brutal
and.
I need to waste time.
Exactly.
So that they get here. That's a nice dress.
Oh, look at that light. On
yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
That was nice. She got him back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She got him back. He just raped her.
He just banged her twice. Yeah. For
raped
two hours.
Her.
Basically, yeah.
He's got, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, in basic terms.
Yes.
But hey, times were different back then.
Yes, well, I'm not the times were different. She was playing a game, and he called her on the game.
And he just took full advantage. He has to be a professional.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's a movie?
No.
What is that mechanical device next to the bottles? Yeah, kids, I don't recognize that. What's the black round orb sitting on it?
I think they cranked the handle next to it, and it actually turned the
wheel. I don't know what you're
talking about. It's a Frisbee.
Made of wax?
I think you eat it.
And grooves?
Wow. Alien, it's so odd. It would be interesting to go through this film and time the average shot length.
Yeah.
Wait. What do I do with this thing? It's a CD player.
More island music.
Oh, it's the same piece of music that played before. Different recording, but same piece of music.
That's a very famous song.
No,
I recognize
it's also the song that the woman on the beach is going to be singing.
Oh.
This mango didn't tree
it,
thing.
This is a pop hit. I think it was released.
Yeah, but this appeared earlier in the film, didn't it? Or am I just imagining?
I don't know if mango... I don't know. I'll just remember the Three Blind Mice is the one I remember, but it could have...
Nice when move. I think when they were in the bar, I think, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It's fine, whatever.
When the man was jigging out.
All I know is that Doc, you know, that
he's getting his groove on.
That he, and now he's brought out a silencer. James Bond means business. This is just, I mean, this is just a stripped down story, which is nice.
I love
playing solitaire.
I love that. The lonely man's game.
Like, exactly. It's like, oh, this is what I'm doing.
There's no female spy to bang. Might as well break out the cards.
Yeah. It's not glamorous. That's the thing. Yeah. This thing does not glamorize any of this stuff.
Except for all the women you get to have sex with. But besides
that. So let's see. You just tried to kill me, so that means I'm going to have to kill you.
I do love old movies when you flick one switch and ba-bam, the light comes on. It's like, whoosh. Feels every light in the whole place comes on.
That's a lot of light.
But he turned it on with that one little breaker switch.
Well, the source is supposed to be that one little lamp on that table, correct?
That, and there's one light behind him, but they're all like in sequence. Well, you know.
They're all tied together to that
but,
one
But that
switch.
One back corner's dark. I appreciate that.
So I like how he explains to him what he knows.
Well, that's standard in a James Bond movie.
But this is
just
but this is
you the see
first
the continuity break.
This
foot was right by the gun a
but
moment ago.
But this is the first
now,
time that he's doing it. This as part of the form
in the franchise, which every other movie built
has
on,
basically
yes.
built on. Right,
it's formula. That would be our word.
But here, it's not formula.
Which all the things we're seeing for the first time, which have become the Bond formula.
Right, and now here. Boom!
Because you're really seeing the same movie over and over.
Because
and over.
What he just did, he just killed him in cold blood.
Yeah. I know. Often have we seen that?
Well, if George Lucas got a hold of this, it
would
be like that.
Yeah, but he's not here. Terrence Young is here.
Dave
which is the good thing that they did with coming back to the original, the original format with the Daniel Craig Casino Royale. That was nice about that. You know, besides the Capoeira and everything else, it was nice to have him go back to this rugged.
Yeah.
Well, he's not.
It's still
a caricature of himself. He's not a goofball. He's not a.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I'll tell you the truth. Guys have been getting a bad spiel for a while. We got Homer Simpson. We got everything else. And where do you get a guy that is actually a role model or leader or strong rather than a caricature of what it is to be a man? And so, yeah, I totally agree.
The emaciated
what? Yeah.
The emaciated what?
World.
Yeah.
Of the male figure. You know?
Emasculated?
Yep.
Emasculated. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I thought you meant we got the right to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, it's faded. Slowly stripping it away from us.
Emaciated is we have the right to be skinny.
That's true. Well, in technical terms, it does make sense. We are emaciated in that term.
That's right.
I like that he's drinking rum. He's
that's
like,
right.
What, we're on a secret mission? Trash.
Now, remember, we haven't met a very important character.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I know, the bad guy.
True.
No. The other good guy, Et.
Yes.
The good.
She comes in here.
Who, the female beach
Honey
woman?
Rider?
Honey.
In the book, she's known as Honey Child.
Oh, and she is like a child. Because her conversation is phenomenal. She seems like a
well, this is Ursula Andress, who at the time was also pretty new to the business, and
yeah, no, but I mean, even the character was she never went to school; she only learned from encyclopedias. Mm-hmm. And
you know what's interesting? Lowry Digital, who handled all the Bond restorations to Blu-ray, of all the films in the catalog, Dr. No looks the best of the ones that have come out so far.
Nice
for whatever, how it was shot, how it was stored.
Well, this is day
this
for
location
night here.
Footage, mm-hmm. yes. But the film looks brand spanking new compared to any other of their catalogs so far. Go figure.
Yeah.
Dr. No.
Do you think that they, or do you know that they shot this in the day for night?
Yeah, this is day for night.
This is a stage right here.
Oh, well, yeah, I believe.
Well, but the other stuff, before this.
Yes, that was day for night.
Just a quick note,
Oh, no, here. Yeah. This is still out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was a stage.
It's just, deep shadow. I mean, it's a convention. It works pretty well.
So, yeah. Well, I mean,
I like the music cue. It kind of emphasizes I'm drinking.
He's a little spooky. Yeah, he's spooked out about the dragon.
He is. Oh, look at that beach.
That's nice.
That's really nice.
Here's the mango tree song. But real quick, the midpoint was the professor shows up and shoots into the pillow. you know, the bad guy's worse than he thought. He's even got people on the inside. And then the flip of that is the midpoint is always about usually introducing a ticking clock. And that's when the CIA agent says in the next scene, we've got 48 hours before the rocket launches. And
here's the famous scene where she walks out of the water in that white bikini. Yep. There you go. Just a little note in the books. In the book, she was naked.
Oh, really?
Damn, yep. Them for not following the books.
Well, you know, you can only do so much. Instead, they got Ursula Andress.
Nice shells.
Oh, I was waiting for somebody to say.
And he sings.
Gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those things that, I mean, I really do get a little bummed at some of the modern day women that they try to pass off as not Bond girls, but just sex symbols in general. And then you see these women that were so, just
va 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 voom.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like not normal looking like a human being?
No, I mean, just look like women. You know, I mean, get some of these women now that are like, you know, in their mid early 20s, and she might as well have been one in her 20s or early 20s, but they just seem very much more matronly and much more like an adult. Mm-hmm. Some of the younger people they try to pass off today.
I wonder how much help was given to that water coming down, because I wonder if that's totally natural or if they put some piping in there and had. For the stream that's running into the ocean.
I didn't see that.
I was, you were thinking that as she was on the beach. Okay, was, all right, Tim.
Yeah,
right, I was see where you're at. Go.
Kind of distracted. I haven't even heard anything. I haven't heard anything Sean Connery's been saying.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, that was a great way to get that whole exposition out that she does this often.
Right.
And it worked fine because his concern was about the radar and the boat and all that.
Yeah, this was basically her big breakout role that made her famous. And that scene of her walking out of the water. Mm-hmm.
That was her Raquel Welch 1 million years BC shot.
Basically, for her. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It still is. Halle Berry did the homage in Die Another Day.
Yeah. And I like Halle Berry a lot, but... I don't know.
Halle Berry's beautiful.
Okay, Halle Berry's shot was good, too. Okay, I will admit.
And Daniel Craig did his in Casino Royale.
See, I just
had a beach scene.
Yeah, he got a beach scene, too. See, you're right.
Yeah, the water there. See the water?
Oh, yeah, up there. So now the whole film shifts into a second phase where basically we're now... island bound, he's there and he's going to get into he's getting closer to Dr. No's lair.
Nice. Yep. Nice voiceover.
Right. I believe you.
I just keep thinking whenever I see parts like this, that him and his friends are watching it in the theater, and they're all cheering for him, the actor. Do you know what I mean?
The actor doing it? Yay! Yeah.
They're like, that's Timmy!
That's not his voice, but that's his body.
That's right.
Yeah, I like how they explain it. Come out with your hands up, but we won't do anything, but we'll shoot this gun across the bow. Mm-hmm. Oh, now that you say so, I will.
Sure.
I have no fear.
Bringing the dogs?
And the volume is the same.
Two poodles, a chihuahua, and a Pomeranian.
I like the crab. Look at that.
Oh, that is way cool. Crab.
He's like,
Dude, that was great.
That looks great.
I love the crab.
They must have had a good time in Jamaica.
That's great. That's a great reaction shot of his.
Now, how old was Connery at this time when he shot this?
Good question.
I think late 30s, but please stand by.
Roll the R there.
Later in my life, I'll play one.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, what was the other Sean Connery Dragon movie?
He was Dragon
Quaid?
Slayer, Dragon Quest, Dragon Fire, Dragon Glory.
Dragon
Friend. He played the voice in the Dennis Quaid.
That's right. Is that, Dragonheart?
He was 33 at this time.
33?
He was born in 1930. According to the intertubes.
See, look at that. He's a strong guy. Cares about the woman.
Yeah, tells that guy to fetch his stuff.
Oh, that's
hey, go get the shoes,
that's
man.
The other thing he did to him. He made him cover the boat. He didn't do it. He said, cover the boat. I'm going to go to sleep over here.
Well, but also, you know, he's in charge. He's the agent. He knows how to make his way through all this.
Oh, the guy shot it. Oh!
Yes?
Can I hear this? Scene, page 75 scene coming up.
I know there's
where
a good
you get
place
help
we can
from
hide.
Someone that you don't expect.
See, this is the help they don't expect.
My goodness.
See, it works.
Oh, my God.
I just wonder what this location looks like today. I hope it's not a strip mall.
Or there's a big there's probably
parking
a big
lot.
Hotel.
This is a McDonald's.
Right. Gosh, she looks beautiful there.
She looks beautiful in every scene.
Is that true? I always heard that wasn't true.
What's that?
Water throwing dogs off scent.
Guess what?
I don't know. I've never tracked anyone. Anybody here tracked someone?
Not I.
Wouldn't know. Sorry.
Okay.
I know. I've heard that if you get in water, the bees won't sting you.
But I also want to know, whenever you go to an island to hide, you should wear a red shirt.
Well, like if we're the person who's wearing blue and a person who's wearing white, yes, you should wear red to differentiate.
By the Star
yes,
Trek,
I know you are.
Star Trek.
He's the red shirt.
He's dead by now.
That's right. He's the one that's.
Oh, gonna... just wait.
Nice tracking shot on location over water, no
over
less.
Water.
Yeah. That's probably off a boat, obviously. Yeah. Camera's in a boat.
You are correct. Actually, if you notice, she's wearing all white, he's wearing all blue, and this guy's wearing red and white.
Red, white, and blue.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Oh, what were you saying?
I was just saying they're wearing all one color and. The guy in red's wearing two colors.
Oh.
So now they're doing the old I breathe through a straw trick.
Yeah.
Has anyone tried that?
The only problem with it is that you can see them under the water.
Well, we can see them because we're looking.
Yeah.
They're not looking.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be funny if the water were so clear the guys look and see these people underwater breathing through bamboo?
Well, it is some clear water, actually. Look,
it is.
He sees. Wow. I mean, actually, you know, practically speaking, those actors had to do that for a while. Look at that. And it's always the birds.
Now, what was that? Just some random thing that pulls them off? They do that a couple times.
All right. That was lame.
It was
lame. Sorry. That was super lame. Birds distract us. Therefore, we will not look for the bad guys. The people who are invading.
I mean, that's the second time at least they did that with the guys who were going to shoot them and then a car drove by. I mean, I don't know. Once.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
You know, I don't know if.
I don't like that.
I don't know if audiences nowadays
I think
buy
that's,
that. That's having that happen so often.
Little lazy writing.
I could be a product of its time there.
Yeah. I mean, it did build tension, and then.
I could see the car going by, the birds. I don't know.
Yeah.
To thugs with machine guns and dogs.
Right, but they leave one thug behind.
Scare. Yeah. He's
and they have to hide again.
He's a sacrificial thug.
Oh, interesting.
Na-na-na.
Now, what kind of gun is that? Any gun aficionados here?
No.
Is it a Sten gun? The one that kind of you hold from the side?
Well, he's left-handed, so he's holding it correctly. But
get him, Jimmy.
Oh, she can't believe.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. She can't believe they just did that, but that's what he does.
Because
he's got his license to kill.
And do you see that? He kills because he has to. He doesn't like it.
Doesn't do it.
Right.
He enjoys it. He takes advantage of women who lie to him.
That's what he
enjoys.
That's right. The killing is just something he has to do.
Well, that's a perk. This is a...
Uh-oh. But in the same... Well, getting
danger.
Down, I'm not defending him in any kind of way.
No.
But still, it's the same thing, you know. Whoa.
Beautiful.
Whoa. Wait a minute. I don't think she's going to turn around. till now.
Another nice waterfall.
That is a beautiful
waterfall. See, someone was very smart putting
her in
white.
You think they're pumping that water in too?
I'm wondering. But Ursula Andress gets in the way all the time. I can't see it.
You know what? It's okay. She can get in the way. She can get in the way.
He's got better chest hair than Harrison Ford.
Yeah, you're right.
If anyone wants to listen to our
I was going to say, you might want to explain the context of that.
No, it's all right. No need to, actually,
We randomly rate chest hair on male. Yeah.
Always compared to Harrison Ford.
Yeah. To be clear, was Harrison Ford's chest hair in Blade Runner, which will now become a standard, and we'll have to judge these each time. Oh, jeez. Hmm. Oh, boy.
Hmm. Now, is she Swedish?
I believe so.
She's sweet-ish, that's for sure.
Oh, that was good.
She's awesome.
Actually,
Ms. Ursula Andress.
At the time, she was about 26 years old. And she was born in, let me get this right. She was born basically by Bern, Switzerland. So she's Swiss. Mm-hmm.
If you look at John Derek's track record of Ursula Andress, Linda Evans, to Bo Derek.
He has no taste whatsoever in my...
You look at their features, he married the same woman over and over.
Yeah.
What an incredible... trifecta. Hmm.
Well, how did Bo Derek not ever become a Bond girl? Because that woman, whoosh.
Yeah, good point.
That could have worked.
Stunning.
She did one of my favorite films from my childhood called She a few years after this. Ursula Andress, yes, did. She played Aisha, She Who Must Be Obeyed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she...
I would have problems with that. No,
she had her own torture chamber and everything.
I love that she goes, did I do wrong for killing the guy with the Black Widow spider? Did I do wrong?
Yes, I twirl my hair. Ugh, you always come in at the wrong times. Aha.
And there you go, a little reminder. Ticking clock thing.
Ticking clock.
But see where the Hollywood film would go with this. He said at the half point, if we're not out in 12 hours, you come back with the Marines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's already been 12 hours because it's been a whole day. So he's got another 12 hours. And in a new Hollywood movie, we'd have the big finale with the Marines landing at the same time that he's on the inside. They'd be on the outside. And they would be probably causing the diversion on the outside that lets them get inside or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Here's our dragon.
That's no dragon. It's...
Yeah, don't give him the hard one.
That's right.
You get the things you can see.
That's a good point.
You kill the guy I can't see.
Yeah, that's right.
I sure am.
And I'll get the lights that are, well, they're lights.
Yeah,
so they're,
I can see them perfectly.
I sure am enjoying all the location work in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's starting to look like an Anthony Mann film of all the using real locations rather than stage.
Ha! Admires a shot. Yes.
Oh, that's bad.
Yep, he's a red shirt.
Tough.
He was a red shirt.
And the dame.
See,
my name is.
So now we've gone from one movie to second movie, and now I feel like we're going into a third movie.
Well,
this is the third act.
Well,
he's caught.
But in terms of like where we've been, in terms of we've been in civilization, then we've been on like the island, so to speak, and it's had its certain pace.
Yep.
I don't know if it's been great or not. And then now we're going into Dr. No's world.
That's right.
Which is just completely different from all both. Either of those.
I think it's interesting how he just walks away.
And those are their Dr. No hoodies.
Yeah.
Because at Dr. No's base, everyone wears those.
Yeah.
You can buy them at the Dr. No store.
Oh, Dr. No.
With the Dr. No merchandise. Oh, you go, Ursula.
Oh.
Bam. And of course.
And he gets smashed over the head. Of course, he tried.
Well, this is all new, also. You remember, it was just.
The dame.
Yeah, perspective is everything. I mean,
No one had anything to compare it to. What kind of budget were they working on?
I mean, this was actually a low-budget film.
A low-budget film. Budget? Oh, yeah.
No, this was not a big-budget film.
That's why that scene where we said Ken Adam did it for 675 pounds. I mean, that's not a lot of money. They really was...
And the set at the end for Dr. No's base is spectacular for the budget they had to work with. Mm-hmm.
What's also interesting, this whole scene with them being washed down. Man, if you think about it, they could have just...
I think it's very exploited. What's the word? Exploitative.
Because
just Ursula time to me, it just seemed like oh well.
But they don't really. She's actually more sexy in the bathing suit, I would argue, than just seeing her shoulders above this thing.
It's a tease, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're right.
What's the symbolism of that? Oh, we just saw.
The symbolism is we're putting soap on you so we can wash you down and then wash you.
What I also don't get is why don't they do like the head and everything? Why do they just do the back? You know what I mean?
Because it's a movie.
Because it's a low budget movie.
Yeah. I cannot see you through my little plastic screen. See, I really expected him to do a fight thing here, but.
At this point, he's like, whatever.
And this was possible. What year was this come out? This was all about radiation and nuclear power. This was probably really interesting to a lot of people. They're like, oh, is this what you have to do to wash off radiation? You know,
because remember, that was still during duck and cover. You know, if there was a bomb coming, you got under your desk and...
Well, I just saw her swimsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Damn it.
Sorry, Tim.
I like this little fingernail machine.
Wow, they cleaned her right off.
Fingernail machine?
What are you talking about? Watch this. Chicken's fingernails.
Oh, that's...
It's a manicure machine.
It's like they brought in that machine just for that.
Nice door.
Mm-hmm. And now we're in the caves. I mean, this was just, I mean, you have to imagine, this was just so different than what anyone had really seen.
Right.
And done, I mean, and played straight. It wasn't played for laughs. The played for laughs stuff was after this, in fact. Mm-hmm. All the other series that came from, you know, that were done after this, they were in with the James Coburn ones, in like Flint or the Matt Helm films. Mm-hmm. Or of the low-budget ones. Mm-hmm.
Rod Taylor did one called The Liquidator.
That's right.
They wanted that to be a franchise for MGM, but it didn't take off. Another good... See the rock and the beams
beautiful.
And the hallway? That's very Ken Adam. You'll see this in other James Bond films. He loves mixing rock with wood.
But it's also of the fact, you know, of the style of the times back in the 50s and 60s. Oh, definitely.
Right. But Ken Adam took it and ran with it in his
Sets
with other Bond movies.
Yeah.
He loved to have just rocks jutting out of different places in a set for whatever reason.
Well.
This would be like a great room if you didn't think you were going to die the next day.
I think any room's a great room if you don't think you're going to die the next day.
I just think it's great that here's his nemesis, here's his bad guy, and they're just treating them oh so nicely, and we have a great location here. It's not very small dank. They have clothes for you. And mm-hmm. What the hell?
It's like a posh hotel.
Oh, it's neat. And I didn't cave. I didn't think of this until you said that out loud, Serge, and except that at the dinner he does say, I was thinking that you could join me. So maybe he was treating him so nicely because he says to Bond, I was thinking you could join me. And so maybe this is a setup of like, you know, you can live a good life, switch sides. But I love it.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing is because the person who's behind Dr. No in this is Spectre.
Right.
And Spectre obviously has money. And,
right.
But it's also
fun because we don't expect it.
This idea that these criminals, this criminal enterprise basically spends a lot of money on living a lavish life.
Right.
And making sure they have lavish surroundings. Mm-hmm. And not gaudy. And I prefer it was just like a warehouse and everything was just like very simple and you know, just the worst accommodations, a rusty spring to sit on. Yeah. You know?
But I want to look at that one line of dialogue. She goes, do you have any idea what they're going to do to us? Oh. That is actually like a written line as opposed to a spoken line would be, I'm scared.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an awful lot of words to say.
But also it's interesting you point that out because it's exactly the clue that says... Well, it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go.
But I like him. One last burst of energy. I can do. Oh, I think so.
Go for the drugs and the coffee again.
Oh, damn.
Oh, when will I learn? Clearly, not this time. And this is our introduction to Dr. No.
Yeah. And it's nice.
$1 million.
And it's nice. They do these little things that just keep the tension up. Because you're like, oh my gosh, what is he going
to
do?
And they were very so kind to put them in bed.
Yeah.
At least him. Ursula could be knocked out on the couch still.
She's on the hard floor. She wakes up the next morning. Oh, man. Oh,
my back. I'm not complaining.
No, I'm trying to be quiet.
Ursula Andress's back is very nice.
I like her front too.
And James, he's just like, "Hey, man, how you doing? Getting
it's
dressed?
Like I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm getting dressed. Yeah,
no, don't mind
me." So we were drugged. Okay, so they drugged them. Why? Other than to?
I don't know. Just to
subdue them for the time being, maybe.
Maybe give them the sleep that they needed, so they'd be well refreshed before dinner.
I don't know.
Prove that they could.
I'd like to prove that they could. Tim, you got a theory?
It's the best I could come
up with. I don't, actually.
Also, for us as viewers, it made us feel like they're more vulnerable. I mean, to see them get knocked out. We're like,
right.
Oh, my God, what are they going to, you know?
Well, actually, it's great because it contradicts exactly her demeanor. It's like, we're all so friendly here and everything, and we're going to drug you.
Exactly, yep. But
we're friendly, now we're going to kill you.
Would you like to join him for dinner?
For his when he laughs later for it to make sense.
I think he looks kind of like a bellhop there.
No, but to me it's an Asian jacket. Actually, I like that, or Asian jacket or shirt. I like that style. I like the paintings. Oh, well, let me mention something about this that I read. Apparently, shortly before this was filmed, a painting was stolen. I think by Goya of the Duke of Wellington, and when he meets Dr. No, what's sitting behind Dr. No's desk is
the
that
painting.
Is an imitation of that painting.
Oh, so it's very topical.
Well,
is it Napoleon? Is that the Napoleon painting or is that a different one?
It was Duke of Wellington.
Okay.
Oh, the Duke. Okay.
Oh, you know about this?
No. I thought it was a Napoleon picture because he makes a comment later. Some people want to be like God or Napoleon, but it was probably the Duke of... I just didn't know that painting. So,
but
the
implication being that
things
go missing.
Yes.
I've got it.
Very
it's
nice.
Like the
no,
hidden
like
underground. It's like this
perfect.
World. Because that's what this all is. This is he's gone from the world that we know to the world we kind of know to now. They're underground. They're in a cave that's made into civilization. So there's a lot of and my unconscious wife is symbolism.
Always, my wife is always wondering why I would ever want a house. Like I've told her, I've said, I would like to have a house underground that I just built. And like you have one entrance at the top that is like, you know, then you spiral staircase down and this is it. And she's like, why? And I'm like, look at this movie. That'd be awesome.
Beautiful work, Ken Adam, for the budget you were given.
Oh, amazing. Because that's tremendous. Not real rock. It's good looking styrofoam.
The hell you say.
Oh, there we go.
Doctor.
And music builds.
That would be Joseph Weissman, the actor, correct?
Tis.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's nice.
Oh, I blocked really it and sent it back.
That's right.
I'd like to see a picture of Joseph Weissman before whatever makeup he has on here.
Actually, Joseph Weissman was born in Montreal. Just like me, 1918.
Just like you?
Wow.
So I was born in 1918. No.
You're a freaking vampire,
you're doing
man.
Well.
Dig, dig. There it is. That's your Duke of Wellington? Or?
Yep, that's it. Exactly. They even gave it a
look at Connery.
See, he's
gives
looking
it a second.
Like, oh, so everyone knew
where
about
it.
Up. That's what that was about.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, that's cool.
This is also back in the time, you know, with the nuclear scare and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. This was Joseph Weissman's most famous role. Hmm. He had other small parts, but this was the biggie.
I take it they stretched his eyes out for the makeup.
They did something. Okay, so this is another meeting scene, but it's meeting the villain.
Yeah.
And this occurs many times over in James Bond films.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
Got to meet the villain.
Do you remember Kenneth Mars in, it was Young Frankenstein, wasn't it, with his fake hand?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
And this guy's right arm reminds me of that.
I love the fish moving around in the background. That's.
And that would be rear screen, correct?
It'd be rear projection, yeah.
Nice. Known you for 12 hours and I'm already dedicated. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, in that case.
Since you said.
That's nice. That's nice, huh?
Ooh.
You got him. Put back the table knife.
Ooh.
Nice.
Oh, man. This. There we go.
I just think of
yeah,
what's his name, Seth.
Green?
Seth Green, where he's like, why are you telling him everything? Just shoot him.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's begged to be said.
I'm thinking of The Spy Who Shagged Me. Yeah.
This was the first time out. We can excuse them this time.
Yes.
It's ironic that, you know, what was original back then became so cliche.
Yeah, parody and overplayed parody. Yeah, exactly. Parody is a good one.
So now we know what Spectre is. He's told us, and...
And imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So all these parodies and homages and...
Okay, so there. So he spares him because, so I think he can bring him to our side, yeah.
This is the only place where I see the structure doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there is no character arc personally for James. The only one that I was talking about before is the one that he kind of gets married. He kind of changes and all that. But usually at a certain point, you know, the person becomes different and he doesn't. He just keeps being Bond and he just figures out how to get out and stop the bad guy.
Actually, what I would challenge now is what makes him different is what I'll call the Mel Gibson part, where basically he gets beaten to a pulp.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to, you know, pull...
Mm-hmm.
Not
stick by his morals, but pull himself from, like, the depths of his soul to come back and beat the enemy, so to speak. So I guess it can be there, even though... I
mean, yeah.
That's the thing, is if you assume that you've never seen any James Bonds before, you would know. I mean, there isn't that much of an arc, because the mission, in a sense, is the arc. I need to complete my mission. I need to fulfill my duty.
Yeah.
It's not about me questioning my duty.
But he doesn't have to do anything different, he just has to do it more.
How?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. But that's the thing, is he has to do it more. He has to reach. He has to really.
I just pissed my pants.
What? Did that scare you?
No. If I would have actually got shocked, you would have just,
Well, these things happen when you're in a cell. But do you see what I'm saying, John?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, but yes. But in other stories, right, the character usually actually changes. I mean, rather than just continually to try and achieve the same goal. And
well, but in Die Hard, does John McClane change?
I don't know. I'd have to.
No, yeah, you're actually right. He doesn't.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's a good point about James Bond, but because the thing is then. There's still an effectiveness to this, to the character of James Bond. So that, in the sense that maybe there are other
aspects, comes back.
There are other aspects of the structure that are still at work that may not necessarily apply to his arc in terms of what he does. Wow, nice shot!
No, I mean, this is obviously the darkest moment. He's never been in a cell before, and in a tunnel and. That gets hot and flooded and blah, blah, blah.
I think in this, and it's been a long time since I've seen this, but apparently in the book, from what I was reading, a summary, Dr. No let him escape into the tunnels and then wanted to test his endurance. He wanted to test what kind of man this was that could do this, and that could actually relates back to what he was discussing there. And I wanted to find out what kind of man could cause me such trouble. And so here, this became a test.
Was this dinner though, or after the dinner in the book? Do you remember?
No, this was after the dinner.
Okay.
In other words, this becomes a test of his endurance his tests. How badass is James Bond?
Right.
How far is he willing to go to accomplish his mission?
Right. And I think this is the parts that my dad liked when he was a teenager and read the books, that this guy really.
And that's what it is. This is a test. This shows us how hard he's going to fight back.
Well, then
which we now take as a cliche. I guess as a cliche, we don't see into that. What at least with the form that this started.
Well, we don't see anyone sacrifice like he's doing right now. And
you mentioned John McClane. This is certainly something very reminiscent of that.
Yes, that's running across broken glass with bare feet is very...
How much can he endure? And, and that makes you like him more as a character.
Exactly.
Like, wow. Because we all imagine that we could hold off and succeed.
Right, but it goes back to what I think in the book Dr. No's trying to do is he wants to test this man's character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to say that I have a shirt just like that at home.
Was that from the whole Pris episode?
Well, I didn't really want to link that together, but yes.
Okay, never mind.
Yes.
And for those who are listening...
Never mind, that's another Blade Runner reference.
So, I'll just go around the table. What about James Bond? The formula works. Why has the franchise lasted so long, Serge?
Sean Connery. I think, but once again, it's the James Bond character who can, I think it was you who said it, Curtis, that we could live vicariously through this character.
I did.
Oh, sorry, that was you, Tim. Okay.
Well, I mean, it has to be that in some way.
Yeah, he is our man of adventure. He is the one who can accomplish what we cannot accomplish.
Yeah. Well, he's also a gentleman, and then he's good looking.
And he's also
gets
a
the
pig.
Women, right? Yes.
And he shoots really well. And he can kill people.
He kills bad guys, not the good guys.
He's allowed to kill people.
Yep.
I mean, it sounds all a little childish, but it's the truth. I mean, these are things I guess appeal to guys. I don't know about women.
And it's also,
but I think they've managed to stick to that formula of combining also the whole thing of espionage and the whole spy story and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the spy thing is cool. Everybody loves like John le Carre books and.
But especially in the 60s with the Cold War.
Right.
Now, so who's a fan of gadgets versus a fan of less gadgets to make Bond?
Less.
I'm funny. I like the gadgets. I'd rather them not be totally goofy gadgets.
It just got a little over the top after a while. You know, it's like, oh, he's got rockets on his skis. Woo! You know, it's like, you know, that's when it got a little bit too
rockets
much.
On the skis.
I made it up. I mean, no, I know there was
invisible car. Invisible car.
Well, I mean, all that stuff. It's like, you know, come on, really? Invisible car? You're getting a little bit crazy now.
That was it.
But well, I mean, in that movie, I think I was led to believe that
I love
Denise Richards was a scientist. That's a bigger problem. But
well, that was
no, that was
the World Is Not Enough.
Was that the second one? That
Tomorrow
was
Never.
After,
yeah, World Is
that
Not
was
Enough.
One
World
more after. Okay, well,
yeah, a biochemist or something.
You know they've went over the top.
No, rocket scientist, I think it was. Oh, poor Denise Richards. It's okay.
That's all right.
She did her job.
Actually, now we're looking at the piece de resistance set by Ken Adam for Dr. No.
Very nice set.
There's the Dr. No budget.
The only thing I could say about structure, and it's really quick, is that possibly if you want to stretch, this is the part of the movie where the hero usually has to do something different to succeed. And he is being sneaky. I mean, every other thing he's presented
straightforward.
He's been very straightforward to every bad guy. I mean, he's been sneaky a little, so this is not a huge stretch. But this is where he's.
Well, at the same time, it's sticking to the reveal of the whole. What's Dr. Mm-hmm. No's? You know, why is he doing all this?
Yeah. But then it goes back to the James Bond character too, who once again he just keeps on going.
Yes, he does.
He never stops, which actually was really emphasized action wise in the most recent. Daniel Craig was. That was his whole thing. Doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite shot from Casino Royale, the new one, is when he busts through that wall.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I'm like, okay, that's James Bond.
Yeah, he's a.
That's him.
The times have changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also shows you the budget. If you look at the pieces of equipment back there, they have wheels below them. Mm-hmm. Later installments, Ken Adam would never have done that. They would have been permanent in some part of the set coming out. Mm. You don't wheel your equipment in and out.
but you
do if you're renting it on a low budget.
Well said. Well, what's this guy that's got like his whole suit puffed up with air?
Oh, just wait. He's going to get a lot more puffed up than this.
That's just...
Now, where did they film these stages?
Pinewood.
Okay.
Oh, interesting bit of trivia. If you do want to have one last Blade Runner reference, who was the director whose production was responsible for burning down the James Bond stage?
Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott. On,
Legend.
Legend. That's right.
Oops.
And they had to rebuild the James Bond stage, which happened during View to a Kill, I believe.
Oops.
I'm sure Ridley was working overtime. And...
who knows?
Oops.
My bad.
My bad.
Over here.
Now I'm curious movies of the time, how this would compare to it. I mean, for me right now, I feel like I could use a music cue.
Yeah. But once again, we've talked about it before. We're so used to it today. And you know,
this was brand new.
But you know
what?
I mean, if you think about it, go back and look at the "It's a Wonderful Life"s and Casablanca's and everything else. Mm-hmm.
Those
they
earlier
had
films.
Them.
Well, I mean,
this is a miniature,
the earlier
right?
films.
That is correct. This is a miniature by John Steers.
And here, you know, this is '60s.
Well, and we're talking budget again. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
What's
what I was going to say is the thing about then the final fight scene between James Bond.
What's
and
he doing?
Dr. No. It's a bummer that they didn't really use his hand strength very well. I mean, they showed it
exactly.
And
one thing,
he,
and they,
you know,
he doesn't
grab him or grab his head or his hand.
They didn't
or,
pay it off.
Yeah, they didn't. And
that's the thing. I mean, everything else was relatively well constructed.
Yeah.
And there's Mr. The Stay Puft Man.
Yeah.
No.
Do not shut it down. Poor.
Oh.
I remembered that incorrectly. I thought the guy with the suit with the hose,
went
air
the water.
Pressure went in and it turned into a big blimp or something. I must have mixed that up with another
thing. That was Willy Wonka.
Yeah. Turning into a grape or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
That was Violet, turning Violet.
See, he is using his hands.
But only to a small degree, you know. It's like,
yeah.
But there you go, metal on metal.
Yeah.
And now,
he
now
is.
It's a climactic fight. The platform is going down, so this is good classic stuff.
Oh, no!
What's going to happen? And that's how he dies instead of underneath a bunch of bird guano.
And he can't climb
because
he has
really,
metal hands.
See, now the hands pay off.
Yeah,
this
right,
is where the hands
right,
pay
right,
off.
Right.
Oh, ignominious end. And so the bad guy is killed.
Yeah.
And
by boiling water. I mean.
Yeah, once I think we're spoiled by having seen sequels and seeing this kind of thing done again and again.
Maybe that's what they could do with the next Daniel Craig installment, remake Dr. No after all these years.
I'm all for seeing new movies.
Yeah.
True.
Good God.
So where's Dr. No's assistant, Nurse Maybe? I haven't seen her yet.
I don't think you're going
to She's next
her.
To the nurse sometimes.
She's shacking up with Dr. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, then she's Nurse Maybe no more.
I have a vague recollection as a child, my parents
he
saying,
went into
when we
the
said
Ryan.
No one few too many times, you said yes, Dr. No. I was like, stop it. I like this. Tell me what I want.
No,
I'll beat you. I don't know. I'm taking my luggage.
Look at the background, and we're running.
ADs are standing back there, now cross.
Oh, that's right. They're leaving her to drown. In the book, I think she was left to be eaten by hermit crabs.
Mm. Nice. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the book was different.
What a filthy way to die.
I'm glad she doesn't have crabs in this movie.
Wow, he broke those shackles quite
oh,
easily.
Oh, okay.
I am the man of steel.
And miss.
What
would happen if he
had
landed it? Just right on his face.
I think he was diving into the water.
Yeah,
but
you're
yeah.
probably right. But it looked like he was going for the boat.
Oh, if he would have hit the boat, that would have been outrageous.
No, that would have been spectacular.
No. Or as when he saw the
dress.
But you know...
when they saw the suicide cigarette fantastic.
Fantastic.
You know,
fantastic, old boy.
My disappointment with this kind of thing is that, though this may have been around before, I kind of feel like it engendered this whole thing. Come on, toss the other guy over.
He just threw two union guys over. Had nothing to do with anything. They were just trying to make
He's going
to
throw the other one over. Hang on a second. Wait, see? Look, there he goes. Oh, that's cold. Is this whole... All you have to do is get into the villain's lair, do one thing, and it's going to blow a little thing up, and then the whole thing is going to blow up.
Chain
and then
reaction,
your problem
baby.
Will go completely away. And I feel it's like a cliche. Ooh, nice black smoke.
That's a Bondism.
But that's been taken into other genres over and over, where it's just a facile ending.
That's why I really like Matrix and Neo, that nothing really got solved. All he did was save the Nebuchadnezzar, but still everything's all messed up. But now he's Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
I like those films so much better. Yeah.
Right.
And poor Ken Adam had every one of his beautiful sets destroyed at the end of a James Bond movie.
Now we're talking tragedies.
I hope he took pictures.
I hope he got paid.
I think he did.
Okay.
If I recall correctly.
And I think
now, is he just sitting there waiting patiently?
No.
No, they were macking.
They were busy. Yes. Yuck, yuck. You see, and it's the British. The British save the day, and the Americans come along to help them out at the end. And that's the way it is, because you know the British are James Bond.
And then what was his name that did it later? And a couple of them played too tall, Walking Tall.
Joe Don Baker?
Joe Don Baker.
Oh, that was way
License
later.
To Kill.
Yeah.
But he was like the Felix Leiter.
He was a good one, though.
He was like Felix Leiter, the CIA. And, of course, the joke of...
Letting out the rope. That's
letting
fantastic.
Out the rope.
This is not.
That's
nice. This is where my mother would go.
because
there's sex involved.
It was very hard to watch a James Bond film with my mother.
Looks like the boat is smiling. And there's the image we'll remember forever with Bond.
It's right.
Iconic.
Though that is not Sean Connery.
Sure.
It's some other guy. And I think they used Sean Connery when they, I guess, did For Much With Love. They replaced him.
And that's the one that started it all.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. And there's no James Bond will return.
Oh, wow. Just those are the shortest credits.
Because all the credits were at the top.
Yeah.
That's right.
And this was the first one. Lord. So.
Boom, boom, bit.
So, gentlemen, Dr. No, the first James Bond ever. Curtis?
It was fun.
It's a long sit-through, in my opinion, but it holds a piece of nostalgia, so therefore I can appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it entertaining?
Yes, in pieces. I know that's not what you want to hear.
It
is what it is. What is the most appreciative for me is probably what Tim would say, which is you find how they built this world out of this first film. Mm-hmm. So all these little things you arrive upon.
Mm-hmm. Tim McMillan.
For me, it's wonderful to see where it all started from. Again, just mining the same things again and again that came from this one film. Mm-hmm. It set, you know, the precedent for every film afterwards. I don't know if this is a film I would return to again and again to watch. If I'm in a James Bond mood, I don't think I'd reach for this one all the time.
You're so much more politically correct than me.
You know, but yes. It's for me, it's wonderful to see the blueprint of what worked for so long after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's classic. Every scene is classic because of how it was mined from that point on to be done and done and done again. And no one gets tired of it.
Yeah.
No one gets tired of it. You see it every time and you go, okay, I just find that fascinating how they can re-deliver and re-deliver and re-deliver on the same basic structure.
John Rudy.
And I'm really glad we did it just because I haven't really looked at the structure of films that were made. Did you say 60s?
1963.
Yeah, so that was 40 years ago. So so that's excellent to see that, in my opinion, it's all there, except for possibly the ending where, you know, he doesn't seem to change a lot, except for maybe his tactic. He's not trying to stop Dr. No. Instead, he switches to, let's blow up the whole place, which is stopping Dr. No. But what's just changed is
either how exciting or how many sit-down talking scenes there are, rather than actually what is the structure of the story. So, yeah, good times.
When I was a boy.
No, actually, I stand corrected. It was 1962.
There you go.
Mea culpa, mea culpa.
I had mentioned that.
I will admit when I'm wrong.
I didn't.
I'll be the first one to say. I liked... I admit, granted, there are slow parts, and it's not one I come back to all the time, but once again, all the iconic scenes. I especially liked the flavor of the earlier scenes. Like I said, it's like I feel it's three films, and the first half is like one film and starts dragging towards the middle, but I like all that, the gritty Jamaica stuff. The second, which actually they kind of came back to, I think in Casino Royale.
Start out there.
I think, yeah. I think they wind up at some point there. And then the middle part on the beach, Ursula Andress. I like White Sand, Blue Water. It's great. And Ursula Andress. So I'm like, all right, okay, I'll go with that. Hey. And something's
in that
happening.
Order?
Okay. And, well, no, Ursula Andress. Okay. All the time. And then the last part is the more sci-fi part for me, which is harder for me. Once it gets back into the whole, it looks... Having come to it already, having seen the other films, I see, oh, this is where it all started. Trying to look at it at the time, I could see, oh, wow, this thing. And you move into a different world, and it's futuristic, and, of course, it's bad. So, of course, it has to blow up and all that kind of thing. So I can appreciate it in different ways. I don't want to watch it all the time, but I can definitely appreciate lots of things about it. Obviously, they refined the formula as they started going on from Russia with Love as a different, grittier type of film. I think they took a lot of technology out, went more for culture, people, that type of thing. Then they definitely come back with a vengeance and Goldfinger, where they brought the whole formula together perfectly. And I think Goldfinger is probably the best one that they've ever done somehow. I don't know if it's my favorite, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of right.
It was a pleasure to see how Sean Connery nailed it right out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah.
Kudos to Sean Connery. Mm-hmm. I mean, that man nailed it in his first time out. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And I think it's a tribute to his talents and everyone's talents to make that all work so that they could say, let's bring it back for a second one and see what they had in it. And of course, he made it his career.
And how big of a success was this after release and all that? Was it quite a success, or was it a growing success where it kind of they made another one just because they could, or you know what I mean? Like,
my recollections are it did very well based on its budget for what it returned.
Sure.
Very successful, but it wasn't until Goldfinger that it went through the roof and became event film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Goldfinger. And then... Thunderball was off the charts. Mm-hmm. It was a global event by that time.
Yeah.
But Goldfinger is the one that turned it into a mega blockbuster.
So basically, this was successful enough so that it could then spawn a sequel with From Russia with Love. I mean, they had the series of books also. They said, hey, this one works. Let's go for another one. So, you know, let's go back one to From Russia with Love, which in the order of the books had come before. And then that still worked. Let's go to Goldfinger, which actually was written after Dr. No. I'm looking at the list right here. That's how I know all this. So it is interesting to see how they took the literary properties and combined that with the movie business to see how they could move forward. And then after that, they just made their way till they're still making their way. How many years now has it been? Mm.
It is
we're talking about almost 50 years now.
Yeah, it's the longest years. Running.
It is the single greatest franchise in film history, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Successful.
So,
wait till Avatar 2. Before you say
that's right.
I'm just kidding.
I may have jumped the gun there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see in 48 years about that. So on that note, thank you very much. This has been Serge Delpierre.
John H. Ruby.
Tim McMillan.
And Curtis Nelson.
And this has been Film Grok. See you next time.